Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas. Here now is our senior pastor, Roy Frady.
Have you ever wondered, why does God love me? Oh, I know. It's because you're so cute. Or talented, or smart, or because everybody else does. Or because you're so good. After all, what's not to love? I hate to be the one to break the news to you, but you're not that cute. I did look at Dan when I said, we're not that smart. We're not even that special. You know, God loved Abraham. Now, Abraham was a pagan worshiping idols in Mesopotamia. He didn't even know who God was. But God loved Abraham. In the midst of what he was engaged in, he loved him. And he loves you even when you're engaged in the most horrible things. God's love is his love. The answer to why does God love you is because God loves you. It's not anything that comes out of a spiritual commitment or a religious act. God loves you because he loves you. His love is unconditional. Unconditional. Now, there's a word where, as one of my old seminary professors said, you could pitch a tent, because you can go and exhaust yourself looking for the terms of unconditional. You can stretch yourself out to the very edge, to the borders, and all you find there is an ever-increasing universe of things that are covered by the term unconditional. God's love is unconditional, which simply means it is without condition. He loves you. He loves you. That's God's love defined. Even when we were his enemies, the scriptures tell us Christ died for us. Now you may say, well, I don't know how that works. I don't know how God still loves us when we are so unlovely. But the definition of his love is unconditional. He loves us even when we mess up, even when we're his enemies. Let's go before him now. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you that you love us. That you love us. It boggles our minds. It is well that your scriptures teach us that your thoughts are not our thoughts. Your ways are not our ways. It is a mystery of why you love us so much, but you do love us. You care for us. You cared for us so much. You sent your only begotten Son to die a hideous death in our place, to make atonement for us, because the wages of sin are death. And so, Father, we come tongue-tied to say thank you, to praise you for the love that cannot be expressed in human terms, the love that comes from the source, not just simply the object, me, but it comes from you. Father, may everything we say today, may everything that comes forward from our mouth be from yours. May all the words that I would put forward be cast into the sea of people's forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. But those things that are from you, those words that are filled with life and death, Father, those are the things we've come to hear. We've come to hear from you today. And so we ask you now, Holy Spirit, you're invited into this place. change us, mold us, direct us, guide us. Do your will with us so that when we leave this place, we leave as new creatures, born again into the wonderful love and grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For these things we ask in His most precious name. Amen. Love of God has explanation in its source. Only God is able to love the humble, the weak, the wounded, the unskilled, the stutterer instead of just the one who's eloquent, the ones that we would normally say were ugly. They are beautiful in His eyes. God's love extends to all the world. Regardless of our race or our creed, He loves us, and His love is there for us. I don't know how you feel about God's love, but I am constantly thankful that God loves me, because I know that's the most precious gift I have, His love for me. Is a riches in glory. Only God in His own loving nature could love someone like Abraham while he was still worshiping other gods. But He did. Only God could love you at your worst moments. Only God could love me in my worst moments. Only a God who loves me. I've been asked many times, why does God love me? I've had people say that I can't go into the church. It would fall down on me if I walked in there. If I walked into the holy place, the whole world would fall on me. Well, see, that's all wrong, because it focuses on the object instead of the source. God is love. God loves you. It has nothing to do with me at all. That's humbling to think, isn't it? That God loves each of you as much as He loves me, if not more. I remember the Smothers brothers, they used to say, well, one of the brothers would say, God always loved you best, or, you know, Mom always loved you best. And sometimes we get torn in denominational fights because we think God always loves us best. God loves everybody. God loves us all. And so, here comes the question. The question is, if God loves us unconditionally, if He loves us no matter what we do, no matter where we've been, no matter what we say or haven't said, if God loves us through the blood of Jesus Christ shed for us upon the cross, what's all this about obedience? Why do I have to be? I can go on living the life I want to live and pleasuring myself simply because I know that God loves me and He'll forgive me anything. His grace will fall upon me. His blessings will be poured out to me because the rain falls on the just and the unjust. And so why should I be obedient? If I choose to live my life my way, God knows that. He'll forgive me. After all, He's forgiven all of us. He loves us all. The answer to that question is probably found in one of God's first commandments. He says, I am a jealous God. The greatest sermon ever preached in America probably was Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. It was preached in a time when people didn't understand what was being said. Sinners in the hands of an angry God? That went against all of the warm, fuzzy feelings that we have about God, doesn't it? That He's angry? He's jealous, and therefore He's angry. If you have doubt of that, you ask the people that were drowned when He said, I have turned my back on this world. I regret that I've ever made anyone. And He drowned everybody on earth except Noah and his family. Ask some of those who were drowning if they felt the unconditional love of God. They had turned their back on God. God gives us the freedom to love Him back or to go our own way, to love other things instead of God. God allows that. That is one of the great graces that God gives us, is free will. God allows us. But God gets angry in human terms. What if you were married to someone and you caught them out lying to you and being in an adulterous affair? You call the office. They said we're working late, but you call the office and they said, we don't know what he's talking about. We haven't worked late in years. And you find in their pockets, you know, some hotel receipt or something else. And you know that that person who you swore to love, honor and obey before God has gone astray. And you have three choices. You can go on as you are. And sometimes God allows things to go on for a while. As the Bible tells us, he's slow to anger. He's slow to anger. He'll let you get away with some things for a while. The Bible teaches that. The second thing that we can do is we can confront the person who's betrayed us. And don't doubt for a moment that you've been betrayed. And you can confront them with the truth and see if they'll repent and come back to you. And you can do that. And God does that. You have heard me say time and time again that God uses the trials of this world either to perfect us or to correct us. And God will do that. And there are many instances in the Bible where God allows that to take place so that our consciences awaken. And we, of our own accord, of our own free will, ask for forgiveness. The third thing we can do is divorce the person. Just give up. Walk away. And God does that too. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. You can commit the unpardonable sin against the Holy Spirit of God. When God's love is unconditional, it is unconditional if you respond to that love. Jesus said, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I command? It's a condition. I love you unconditionally. We may love our children unconditionally. We may disown the same child. We love them, but they have to love us in return. It is a relationship. Why should I be obedient? Look in Leviticus chapter 26. And Leviticus chapter 26, verses 3 and 4. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and perform them, then will I give you rain in its season, and the land will yield its produce, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Listen, these are the blessings of God. But they are conditioned with an if. They are a strong economy, abundant harvest, national security, a victory over overwhelming enemies. But his greatest promise is himself. Look in verse 11. I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. He gives himself. All blessings come with an if. If you will be obedient. If you will return my love by being obedient. You may say, well, what else does he say if I don't? If I don't do that, if I'm disobedient, if I just will not be obedient, then what happens to me then? Look in the same chapter, in chapter 26. Look just in the same chapter. Look down to verse 14 and 16. 26, verse 14 and 16. What does he say? But if you do not obey me and do not observe all my commandments, and if you despise my statutes, or if your soul abhors my judgments, so you do not perform all my commandments, but break my covenant, I will also do this to you. I will even appoint terror over you, wasting disease and fever, which shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of the heart. And you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. These are the words of God. This is the same loving God who loves you. These are his words. See, Jesus loves you, but you're free to reject his love. God has a temper. He gets angry. You know, I'm not God, and I thought that I had my anger under control until this past week. On Wednesday, I hadn't lost my temper in a long, long time. It had been 15 or 16 years since I remember losing my temper. I lost my temper. I said things that I shouldn't have said in a way I shouldn't have said them to someone I loved. And it broke me, and I had to apologize. And I apologized to everybody because I did that. I had a temper. The Bible says that if you have anger, it's the same as murdering somebody. You should never get to the point where your temper gets the best of you. My temper did. My temper came out. It was a series of circumstances that finally triggered it, but my temper came out. God gets angry too. God gets angry when we reject his love and his sacrifices and his blessings, but he is slow to anger. That is the grace that he gives to each of us. Jonah was one of God's favorite preachers, and he tasked Jonah to preach a message he wanted preached, God wanted preached, to a place that Jonah hated. He wanted him to go to the Ninevites. He hated the Ninevites. Jonah said, no, I can't go there and tell them to repent so that they'll be granted your favor. I can't do that. I won't do that. And so he ran. And what did God do? God pursued him. He fought for him. Jonah went out into a boat. God caused there to be a great storm so that even the sailors who were used to sailing on the ships were frightened, and they looked around for things they could throw overboard. And finally, Jonah admitted that it was him who had brought this in terrible fury down upon them, and he was thrown overboard. God provided a great fish to swallow him up, and he was in the belly of that fish for 3 days. The long and the short of it was, he ended up going to Nineveh, all bleached out by the acids in the stomach of that great fish, seaweed all over him probably, smelling awful, and mumbling, repent, repent. The whole place repented. God did what God was going to do, and he got his message preached. And he got the love that he had intended for the people of Nineveh received by those people. God's unrelenting discipline is an aspect of his character and his blessings. The alternative is that God would give up, and God doesn't give up. He just doesn't. The one thing God will not do, he will not turn his eye from our sin. He will not look at us and see us as we are not until he looks through the blood of Jesus. And that washes all of our sins as white as snow. But he will never let go. He will fight for us. In Deuteronomy in chapter 27 and 28, God gives us a lesson to carry all of our lives. This should be with you all the time. He tells us that there is a path. And on this path between these mountains, one is the mountain of cursing and the other is the mountain of blessing. When they pass, the people pass beneath the mountain of cursing, all of the Levites, all of the priests, gather on the top of that mountain. And they yell down curses upon the people. They say, this is what's going to happen to you if you disobey the commandments. And they came down as a curse. And they came down, they said, you will honor your mother and father. And the people said, amen, amen. And he said, you will have no other gods before me. And they said, amen, amen. You know, when they're saying amen, they're saying, so be it. They're saying actually this, Lord, be it to me just as you said. I'm just a person. I can get caught up and cave in from the pressures of the crowd. I can do what the great majority of my friends want me to do. I can go and get drunk. I can take those drugs. I can do whatever they're doing. I can do it just like they're doing it because I can get caught up. But I'm telling you, God, if I were to do that, if I were to do something stupid like disobeying one of your commandments, Then, for instance, if I was Father God, who loves me, if I stray from your commandments, if I say, oh, I want to have money, and I want money more than you, then take away my money. Make me bankrupt. Make me see my riches in you and you alone. Take it away. If I want a pleasure in my life, if pleasure is my God, then take it away from me, Father, until the only pleasure I find is in you. Not many of us are willing to take that commitment today to say amen to God on those behalf. Because there's something we still think in our humanity that is more precious than God. God is long-suffering with us. He's still forgiving us. A day will come in judgment when that forgiveness will not be available to us if we have run from underneath the covering of His love. Every knee will bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That is not a saving proclamation. That is simply a statement of fact. Jesus is Lord. He is to be obeyed. That's the way we show our love for Him. He says to us, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And so why don't we do it? Why don't we say to God, God, we trust you to be the great arbiter of our life. We trust you more than we trust our own silly appetites for things. We love you more than materialism. We love you more than silver or gold. We love you. And if we don't love you more than these things, then take these things away. Take them out of our path. Give me no more enjoyment. Take away my taste buds if I have a taste for anything but you. That's what it says in Deuteronomy 27, verse 15. Cursed is the one who makes carved or molded images, an abomination to the Lord, the work of his hands of the craftsman, and sets it up in secret. And all the people say, amen. Does that include worshiping the almighty dollar? Yes, it does. God gives us a lesson to carry all through our life. There is a path between two mountains, and the people pass beneath. A little further down the road, there is another mountain, a mountain of blessings. And on that mountain, the priests, the Levites, have run to the top. And they pour out and scream out the blessings of God upon the people. They scream out the blessings. That's a condition. If you have walked under the cursings and you said yes to God's commands, then when you come to the blessings, they are poured out to you beyond your wildest imaginations. God loves you, and He wants you to know, and He wants to prosper you. It is God's desire to prosper you. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Listen to the words of Moses, 19 and 20. They have passed under the two mountains. And Moses says to them, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey His voice, and that you may cling to Him, for He is your life and the length of your days, and that you dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. Those are the words of God spoken through the mouth of Moses. He's telling us that there is a choice. You know, here in Texas, there is a famous oil pool called the Yates Pool. It's named after the man Yates, who owned this little ranch in the rolling hills of West Texas. He owned a sheep ranch. It was just a place where his sheep would go and take away the little grass that cattle wouldn't even bother with. But he was in hard times. Hard times were such that he couldn't feed his family. He was about to lose his ranch. He was on government assistance. This is a true story. He fell down and went to the government and begged them to give assistance to him to feed the swollen bellies of his children and to put shoes on their feet. And he was walking across this ranch one day, and this group of seismic engineers came up and they said to him, "Listen, do you mind if we drill a wildcat well on your land?" He said, "Sure, go ahead." And they drilled the well, and the well came in a gusher, and it produced 80,000 barrels of oil a day. And they began to drill all over his place, and there was another well that produced 125,000 barrels of oil a day. Here was a man who was a millionaire, a multiple millionaire, who was living in poverty. He owned the oil, but he didn't possess the oil. Many Christians are like that today. We have all the riches in Christ Jesus and don't know how to drill down and get them. God wants you to have them. He wants you to be well, and he wants you to prosper. He wants all of his blessings to fall upon you. But you have to, in regard to what his desires are, give him the desires of your heart as well. Jesus said that all the prophets, all the laws, could be brought down to two basic laws. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. If you do this, he said, you fulfilled all the prophets. We cannot turn to the world because the world has nothing to give us. It's a dry hole. But we can turn to God. God has everything for us. He has everything in abundance for us. He can set the captive free. He can open the prison jails, cells. He can open anything. There is nowhere that you can hide from God. And God's blessings can reach you anywhere you are. In order to receive them, the Scriptures teaches us that we have to first seek Him. We have to first seek God. We must confess our sins. We must allow Jesus to become the atonement for our sins. Because only He could make atonement for us. We must come to Him with an open heart that says, "I love you, Lord. Have your way with me." I was talking to Dan in my office, and Dan Ford and I go back a long way. And both of us agreed to this one thing, that availability is the greatest gift we can give to God. "Here am I, Lord, send me." Not send me because I'm talented. Not send me because I'm smart. Not send me because I'm strong. Send me. Send whatever there is in me. You use me. You give me your strength, your wisdom, your love, your power, your grace, your talents, and I will do whatever you tell me to do. That is what God is asking us to do today. And if we do that, then He will pour out the blessings of God upon us, pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing in our lives. That is the choice we may have today. We can choose God, or we can choose the path we're on. We get to choose. The choice is ours. God loves us. We can choose Him. The devil wants to destroy us. We can choose him. But we must choose. We must choose love. We must choose blessings. We must choose Jesus Christ.
We pray the Holy Spirit has enlightened you today. Pastor Frady's sermons are on the internet at willowcreekfellowship.org. Join us live in person each Sunday at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street in Plano, Texas. Or join us live on the internet each Sunday at 1105 a.m. Central Time at willowcreekfellowship.org. God bless you.